Next case, the United States v. Coleman. Ms. Boyd?
Yes.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, there are two standards that are at odds in this particular case, and that is the preponderance of the evidence and the proof beyond a reasonable doubt standards. Two factors were used in this particular sentence, which put this out of line with the sentence that was given to the co-defendants. Mr. Coleman was charged with the 5 kilograms, and he admitted to the more than 5 kilograms of cocaine in, and that was charged in the indictment. There were also two prior convictions that were used to obtain the career offender enhancement. We believe that the district court erred in applying that enhancement, and because the facts of the underlying case were not submitted for proof beyond a reasonable doubt, due process requires that every fact essential to a crime be found beyond a reasonable doubt by a jury if that right is not waived. And this is the dissenting opinion of Justice Thomas in Harris versus United States.
Ms. Boyd, I just have to ask you, since you mentioned dissenting opinion, I certainly respect the right of any lawyer to preserve an issue for further review by the Supreme Court, but this court doesn't really have the authority to change the result of Harris or Almendarez-Torres or any of these other cases. So I'm not sure what you want us to do. I mean, certainly for your client, you've presented the case. If the Supreme Court were to agree with you, then by all means, you know, present the question to them. But how can we? The court's been very clear, actually, that it doesn't want courts of appeals to go around predicting which cases might be overruled. State Oil against Kahn is a good example of that. There's a little discussion in that case about what the Supreme Court thinks courts of appeals ought to do in the situation that you lay out in your brief. And I think we would all agree that there are many signals from the Supreme Court that it might be willing to take a look at this. But at this point in time, we have said in quite a few decisions that these are only signals, and at the moment we're bound by what they've said.
Yes, Your Honor, I do understand that. I'm simply attempting to lay the groundwork for a potential appeal to the Supreme Court.
Well, as I said, you know, certainly in your brief, you've done that. If you're worried about whether you've done that, let me assure you, at least from my point of view, you've done it. But I don't know what you want us at the Court of Appeals level to do other than, you know, make sure that we recognize that you haven't waived anything.
Your Honor, I guess I would simply like the opportunity to be heard on this particular matter.
Okay.
And
that's fine.
If a statute annexes a higher degree of punishment based on certain circumstances, then exposing the defendant to that higher degree of punishment requires that those circumstances be charged in the indictment and proved beyond a reasonable doubt, and that is according to Apprendi. The appellant was convicted of involvement with between 5 to 15 kilograms of cocaine, and this was charged in the indictment. No greater amount of cocaine was submitted to a jury for proof or admitted by Mr. Coleman. However, he was sentenced based on the offense level of 34, which was between 15 and 50, and only a crime he was found guilty between 5 and 15, which he admitted to. Therefore, the offense level should have been calculated between 32, pursuant to United States Sentencing Guidelines 2D1.1C4, which reflects the lowest amount of cocaine that was admitted in this particular matter. We acknowledge that the prior exception, conviction exception, is still intact. However, several factors that do permit circumvention of the prior conviction level. the career offender enhancement is not based on prior convictions per se. In this particular situation, the prior convictions were not submitted to a jury for proof beyond a reasonable doubt. In this particular situation, we do agree that they could be used for the criminal history of this individual, but that in utilizing them, the district court was doing more than simply counting prior convictions. You know, it was determining the nature of the prior conviction, and that was by a preponderance of the evidence. In order for a prior conviction to apply toward a career offender enhancement, the convictions must be either crimes of violence or controlled substances, and a jury is not asked to determine whether the prior convictions are violent or drug-related, even though they increase the statutory maximum sentence that the defendant is exposed to. As stated in Blakely, the statutory maximum for Apprendi purposes is the maximum sentence a judge may impose solely on the basis of facts which are reflected in the jury verdict or admitted by the defendant. In this case, he did admit to more than 5 kilograms of cocaine, and that was charged in the indictment. When the judge inflicted a punishment that the jury verdict did not allow, was then doing more than simply counting prior convictions, and therefore imposing the career offender was done in error. The appellee does note that the sentence was within a statutory range of available sentences, meaning that Blakely concerns did not arise. However, the appellant submits that the guidelines-based sentence must still comport with the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution, which is a right to notice and trial by jury. And had the Booker decision, the remedy opinion, invalidated the guidelines as a whole, complying with Blakely and the Booker substantive opinion would have been as easy as sentencing someone within the range as listed in a statute. If the district court decided to use the guideline range to determine the appropriate sentence and then sentence based on guidelines, the defined range under these circumstances becomes smaller and must comport then with the Sixth Amendment according to Blakely and Booker. And the district court uses the advisory guidelines as the range. It would be prohibited under the Sixth Amendment to increase that range based on other allegations, because in this situation, Coleman made no admissions beyond his guilt of the offense charged in the indictment. And that, of course, is based on the Booker and Blakely standard. By using the guidelines, the district court limits the discretion to select a specific sentence and within the guideline range. In this situation, that is what the court chose to do, because it must still comport with the Sixth Amendment. And the maximum sentence is the top range of the guidelines, and calculated solely on the basis of facts reflected in the jury verdict or admitted by the defendant.
Ms. Boyd, I don't want to direct you in any way on how you want to present your argument, but you have limited time, and you're into rebuttal, which is, of course, you may use it as you see fit, but I think this point is you've made pretty clearly and obviously also in your brief. I wonder if you wanted to spend a moment on the motion to withdraw the plea, or do you want to stand on your brief on that?
Your Honor, I will stand on my brief on that.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Boyd. Mr. Hanstead?
Thank you. May it please the Court, Gregory Hanstead for the United States. I just wanted to briefly respond to one point that opposing counsel raised, and that is she commented on the fact that the defendant's sentence here was based on an amount of cocaine in excess of 5 kilograms. She said more than 15 kilograms, and that was not admitted by the defendant. That's not actually the case. The only thing that drove the defendant's base offense level here was the fact of a conviction under 841B1A, which carries a maximum term of imprisonment of life, and his two prior felony controlled substances offenses. The way that the career offender guideline is set out, the mere fact that he faces life in prison and has these two prior qualifying convictions means that his base offense level is 37, regardless of what it would have been based on drug quantity. And unless the court has any specific questions for any of the other points that the appellant raised in her brief, I would rest on our brief and ask that the defendant's judgment of conviction and sentence be affirmed.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hanson.
Thank you.
Ms. Boyd?
Your Honor, just to reiterate what was said before, the two prior convictions were not simply the history of Mr. Coleman. They were used in terms of enhancing his punishment, and for that reason they should have been determined by a different standard, and that is proof beyond a reasonable doubt. We're asking that the court vacate the plea and sentence, remand this for rehearing consistent with the arguments raised herein. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Boyd. Ms. Boyd, where is Shawano, Wisconsin?
It's north of Green Bay.
North of Green Bay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a safe trip home, both of you, and the case is taken under advisement. Our thanks to both counsel. Court will stand in recess.